All right, all right. Well, thank you for joining us wherever you are joining us today or listening to us. Go ahead and give some virtual high fives, some distanced high fives, some hello, how are yous, because this time last year we were saying goodbye to all of those things. So how faithful is God that we get to be here this year and celebrating that he set us free. So let's just give Jesus some praise. I don't get to do this much, but come on now. We got to be excited for who he is, right? Like, it's so awesome. It's so awesome that we get to be here. It's so awesome, like, just to be stepping into another Easter. Like, it is crazy awesome to believe. This time last Easter, I'm just going to be real with you. Our heads were spinning. Like, we were fully relying on the Lord always in everything we do here, but we were trying to figure out, how do we have church online? How do we connect with everybody? How do we find ways to do things? And what I love about our church, really quickly, I'm just saying this, what I love about our Vine family, what I love about Jesus working in and through each and every one of us, is he was preparing us for last year, and he's preparing us for this year as well. Like, we were trying to figure out how to do things online, and we already had the tools to do it because we have amazing people here and an amazing family here who already started the groundwork for it, and Jesus has been faithful through it. So I'm so thankful to be here as we continue in our series called Death Defeated. I get really fired up when I see that, like, when I see that lead in. Like, it just gets me really excited, and I look at this, and it makes me think, like, how many people read the paper anymore? Like, I know, that's tough. But there is what we're doing when it comes to the paper to that as we continue in Death Defeated. And today what we're going to be unpacking is the law of religion. And what's really hard for us as we talk about the law of religion is we're going to be walking through a familiar story, but to prepare the way to get there, if you want to go ahead, get in your Bible to Mark 12. If you don't have your Bible, we would love to give you one. We have some free for the asking. You can also follow along with us on your phone, on our Vine Church app. What's really cool, email us at hello@thevine.tv. We can shoot you the link to our Vine Church app. You can take notes on there during the sermon that has fill in the blanks. It has all the scripture we're going to walk through, ways to connect throughout the week. If there's any way we can pray for you, we would love to do that. So go ahead and get to Mark 12, and we're going to set the groundwork up today as we talk about the law of religion. And here's the mindset I want us to be in. What would you grab if your house was on fire? What would you grab? Like, what are the things you would grab? Like, you know, what are the most important things to you? Like, all of a sudden, isn't it crazy? Like, when we really think about that, like, it would be even crazier if, like, something caught on fire. I hope that wouldn't happen. But, like, what would you grab if your house was on fire? What are the things that are most important to you? What are your priorities? Like, obviously, if you've got children, your children, you want to make sure they get out of there first. I mean, absolutely. Like, don't think we'll go back for them. That's wrong. You're going to get them out first, your children. Come on, we just talked about what a bummed you or a bummed lamb was a minute ago. Like, we got to make sure the children are taken care of. Like, maybe some photos, maybe some albums, not the high school yearbook, who cares about that? But like, wherever that is, maybe there's some things that you would grab. But here's what I'm getting at when we talk about the law of religion for our life. Isn't it funny that there are certain moments in our life where the things that are the most important, the priorities in our life, stack up just right? When we're caught in the fire, that's when it happens, isn't it? Like, you don't have a moment to think, you just go. Like, that is what you were called to do, it's what you were made to do. You don't have time to argue about what to do. Like, you're not gonna stand there if you're married and have the worst fight you've ever had in the middle of a fire, are you? Like, all of a sudden, if you do, I'm pretty sure you're both not going to make it, and we're not going to hear from either of you. Now, you could figure something out. Like, you could put your spouse in front of you to get hosed down by the fire department. I don't know, but I'm just saying. I'm throwing things out there. But you don't want to have your biggest fight there. So the thing is, what's important for us as we talk about the law of religion and talk about death defeated, here's where I'm going. When you step into the fire of life, in the season of life, what are you holding on to? What's the thing you're carrying with you? Because religion ain't gonna work, my friend. Religion's not gonna carry you through. Maybe today it's beauty. Maybe today it's status. Maybe today it's the degree on the wall. And if you care more about getting that degree off the wall than getting out alive, I'm gonna tell you, Jesus is so much better. He's worth so much more. He's done so much more. He cared for us so much more. And that's what we want to unpack as we go into this Easter season, because as we go into this familiar story, we're going to change our mindset to think about how we carry this into the fire, because I'm going to move. This might actually not be the interaction you think. It's going to sound familiar when we dive in it, but I want us to see that maybe, just maybe, we're acting like the Pharisee today. Not beating it up, but we may not even know it. So if you've got your Bible, let's get to Mark 12, and let's start in verse 28, and let's see what Jesus has for us as we learn the law of religion. And it says this, one of the teachers of the law. Now, Matthew 22 has this account. Luke 10 has an account similar to this, but it says this, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Wouldn't it just be great to have some good debate and not rip each other apart today? We don't have that in this world we live in right now. We need to get back to that. But look at what this teacher of the law realizes. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Now, for us and growing up, as I grew up in church, that's where like our pride came up and be like, how dare he ask Jesus what the greatest commandment is? How dare he do that? But let me be real with you. At that time, it was customary, it was normal for someone to ask a rabbi, a teacher, what the most important command to them was, because they wanted to figure out if they wanted to sit under that person's teachership or want to follow his leadership. It was a normal question. Why was it a normal question? There were 600 plus laws that all of Israel had to follow in order to be righteous. 600! I can't even get the speed limit right, y'all. Like 600 laws in order to be righteous? 600. So what this teacher of the law was saying is, hey, what's most important to you? And I might listen to you if I think that you choose the right one of the 600 laws we have. So you may say, well, that doesn't happen today. That's not something that's normal. Here's how it plays out today. Hey, what's your biblical stance on? What do you believe? And before we attach ourselves to a church or the local body around the world, that's what we go into. Now, those are important questions. Ideally, you need to ask those questions. You need to be informed. But if that's the most important thing and Jesus isn't, then I'm telling you, you're not holding on to the right thing, because that statement beliefs will let you down every time. It'll let you down every time. Jesus won't. Jesus will be there in it. Through the fire, through the trial, through the up and down, through the pandemic, outside of the pandemic, Jesus will be there all the way through. And so for us today, I just want us to look at it a little different light, and maybe look at the Pharisee in a different light. He might have still saw Jesus as a threat, but it may not have been the threat that we've always learned in the other accounts. So he's saying, sum it up for me. What's the most important? Of the 600, because I can't memorize them, I can't spell my name right half the time. What is the most important? So this is what Jesus answered. The most important one is this, answered Jesus, is this, starting in verse 29. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. This is the greatest commandment. We talk about this all the way through. Love God, love others. It's what we want to represent in the church, and it's what we want to be as we go there. So Jesus answers him, hey, you want to know all of this summed up? Love God with all you are and love others. Look at how this teacher of the law now sits under followership. Look at the change in tone. Well said, teacher. The man replied. Now, Mark's account's a little bit different. Now, if we look at Luke 10, remember, Luke 10's account is, and who is my neighbor? And that's where we hear the Good Samaritan, and that's where we hear the story of the Good Samaritan. When we look at Matthew 22, Jesus rolls from that to Matthew 23 with the woes to the Pharisees. Like, there's a little bit something different that comes in, a little different flavor, and that's why I move. This might actually have been a normal interaction for Jesus when people ask him, what's the greatest commandment? Maybe this account's a little different than Mark got. Maybe it isn't. I can't tell you that. We may not know until we get into eternity, but I want us to have a little bit different lens, because this teacher of the law now says, well said, teacher. He's sitting under him. He's sitting under Jesus in this. You were right in saying God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. He repeats back what Jesus said, okay? Husbands, if we talked about this in the relationship series. When you go home today to show your wife you're listening, just repeat back what she says and watch and see how that lets your relationship flourish. I'm just saying, put it out there. This is important. This is important with the relationship with Jesus when someone's sitting under his leadership. They replied back to him. Now, what is it that Jesus said? Before you bring your offerings and sacrifices to me, if you have a problem with your brother, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to love him. We're supposed to go clear that up before we bring our offering, right? We're supposed to do that. So Jesus is saying, hey, sum it all up. It ain't about your offerings or sacrifices. It ain't about your works. It ain't about what you do. It ain't about what religion is. It's love. Love is what we have to go through. Look at what Jesus says in verse 34. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any questions. Now, last week we talked about the real Jesus. Remember what Jesus came to do? Usher in the kingdom of God. And as he's ushering in the kingdom of God, he's saying the important thing you've got to understand as he is ushering in the kingdom of God is to love the Lord your God. The Lord your God, the Lord our God is one. And we are to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? Like, we've got to love him with all of that. And when we do that, we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And as we go through this, most of the time, even when I've walked through this, we like to concentrate on loving our neighbor as ourselves. Because let's be real, we love to talk about ourselves, don't we? We can relate to ourselves. Because whether you want to admit it or not, I love me some me. Like, I don't care who you are. When you go, you look in that mirror and you getting ready to go do your thing. You say, I love me some me. Like, I'm going to make sure I'm good. Like, everything's good, ready to go. We do. It's what we do. We do. I mean, I'm just being honest. We do. But how many times do we talk about loving God? How many books have you read outside of the Bible, which more most important book? How many books have you read that talks about loving God? As a matter of fact, the last book, I was trying to look online to see, can I buy a book about loving God? It was written like 200 years ago. Like, it's like crazy. Like, okay, like, I know the Bible, I can love God, but like, is there anything like that as a concordance or any, like, loving God? Because when I check this, Jesus says I got to do that first, right? Then I can love my neighbor as myself. But you see, we want to work to love our neighbor first to prove that we love God, don't we? We get it backwards all the time. I get it backwards all the time. So that's what we're going to unpack today. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love God? And we're going to spend time just helping us do that. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to show you and I, all of us, what we need to hear when it comes to this. So love, when it comes here, when it's translated from the Greek there, is we call it agape love, but agapaho is what it's called. And Jesus, when he's talking about this, when he says love, it's a little bit different than we think. It's to take pleasure in, to have affection for. So in other words, what Jesus is saying is this. When it comes to loving God, we've got to take pleasure in him. Now that's a little bit different for us, isn't it? Because we know the Lord delights in us. We know that we are his delight, but do we delight in him? Do we love entering in his courts with thanksgiving and praise? Do we pray in all circumstances? Do we really love that, or do we just like, Lord, if this red light don't change, I swear, I'm going to be stuck at Zaxby's forever today. Like, if this red light just don't, that hot now sign's going to be gone at Krispy Kreme. Appreciate it, Lord. I mean, I know I got to do what I got to do, but I mean, that bill ain't going to pay itself, Lord. I don't know what happened. My interwebs ain't working. Like, you know, like, what do we do? Do we enter in his courts with thanksgiving? Do we have a love affair with the Lord? Do we? Because that's hard. That's something that's really hard for us. Why? Because I love me some me. It's hard. It's about what he's done for us, and that's what we rest in. But in order to grow and thrive and be all he's created to be, we have to have a love affair with him. So this Greek word, agapaho, means to take pleasure in. And when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, how it's translated in the Greek is, the Greek word for heart is important for us. That's all we're going to unpack in that verse. Let's be real. Is cardia. We've heard this. Cardiac arrest. I'm just kidding. If I did that today, that'd be horrible. But cardiogram, cardia, heart. Now, it means something different to the Greeks than it does to us. This is why we have to look at this. To the Greeks, the heart was the center of their universe. The heart was the center of all that they did. It was the pull, the gravitational pull of their life. It's where their affections were, and it's where their love was. So Jesus is saying, he must be at the center of our life. We must love him so much and be in a relationship with him so much that he is the center, the pull, the force in our life. So to love the Lord our God with all of our heart means literally to take pleasure in, to long for him being the center of our life. And that's something that's, it takes time. That's what we call sanctification. That's where the Holy Spirit works in us, but it's something we don't talk about enough. In other words, Jesus is saying, your relationship has to be more than just a statement of faith or belief. It's got to be lived out with this love affair relationship. Love affair relationship. And that's hard for us because when the fire comes, we think of everything else we want to carry out. But the thing that will last eternally is him. So when the fire comes in this world, are we hanging on to him or are we hanging on to the things down here? Because we're hanging on to him, last I checked, he's going to provide for us. Because see, the thing is, humans, we're wired to love. We may say, no, we don't. I'm not wired. Yeah, you are. We're all wired to love. We all love something. Even if it's me, some me, we love something. We all love something. We all do. We're wired. Look back in the garden. Look in the garden. When we were in right relationship with God, we were taking delight and pleasure in being in relationship with God. Remember, Adam and Eve were there. And all of a sudden, what ends up happening is God says, I love you so much, you can have everything. But this is one thing. You just can't take a part in this. But all of a sudden, what ends up happening with them is they fell in love with the created more than the creator. The snake came, he slithered in, Satan came and slithered in and talked about God's word and said, hey, he's not really going to kill you. Because when you know the knowledge of good and evil, it's not going to hurt you. But let's be real, in our life, the difference in our life, whether we're going to be with God in eternity or not, is there's going to be a moment that we realize evil. That evil exists in this world. There is a such thing as evil. And we can only understand that because we know that when we have that there is a such thing as a God that helps us through that. But because we're wired to love, what ends up happening is we'll fall in love with this temporary thing and think that it will satisfy and sustain us. And if you don't think that you're wired for love, let's go back to this fire example. If you have kids, you'll die for your kids. You'll love them even to your own detriment. That's why you're a parent. You'll do that. You'll do that in relationships too. Maybe you'll even do it for the wrong thing. We're wired to love. The problem isn't that we're wired to love. The problem is when we misdirect our love to the created things of this earth and it doesn't start with God first. That's why Jesus said, the Lord our God is one. And our love has to go to him first. And from that, it will overflow into loving our neighbor as ourself. But we don't like that. Because I can love my neighbor. God, I delivered them donuts to them. You saw me, Lord. Let's go get this lotto ticket. Amen. Praise God. We're going to get it. Come on. Love me, Lord. We do that. I do that. We all do that, don't we? We get it backwards. And so that's what we got to unpack is how are we loving God well? Do we love God well? Is that something that we're doing right? In other words, Jesus is saying this. You're wired to love. You have an affection for something in your life. Is that affection me? Are you willing to transfer that affection for the created to me? Because when you do, you will have a well that springs out of you that is full of life, and living water will flow out of you. That is the moment in your life when you will live it to the full, and even though the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he will not defeat you. But you got to first love me. Your affections has to lie with Christ first. That's how we love God. Jesus challenges us in that. As a matter of fact, Jesus says it this way in Matthew 8:20. You don't have to get there. I want to put it up there. And it reminded me when Jesus said, you got to put God first. He's talking to the disciples here. And he says it this way. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. In other words, if your love is with him, the temporary ain't gonna matter.
Because even he didn't have anywhere to rest, because he had something he was doing, the Father's will, to usher in the kingdom of God. So for us, we've got to have a willingness to give up this comfort, this ease, this life of comfortability that we can be stuck in, and that's what Jesus leads us to. So what am I saying? We got to love God more than status, more than safety, more than comfort, more than stuff. We got to love him more than that. Is it wrong to have nice things? No, it's not. Absolutely not. But when those things take the place of God in your life, that's where the issue is. If you love nice things more than Jesus, if you care if a nice thing is on sale more than coming to the Lord in prayer every day, that's where we got an issue. And we all get there, especially during March Madness. All of us probably did something crazy, wanted to see if there was a big upset or wanted to see if there's a big sale. I don't know. Are there sales in March? There probably is. It's Easter. So there's sales somewhere. Reese Cups are out there. Come on. Cadbury. We care about the Cadbury bunny egg, right? Like, and it's the lion. It's my favorite one. The lion's screaming at us. We care about that. If we care more about seeing that commercial on repeat than we do about what Easter really is, then maybe, just maybe, we're not loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And the thing is, we're not going to figure that out fully until we step into eternity. It's okay. I'm not doing that fully yet. Jesus is still working on me fully on that. We all have work to do on that. So the reason that this is important for all of us is sometimes in our life, what we can do is we think, and I've said it wrong, is this. The safest place to be is in the will of God. How many of us have said that? I've said that. It's something Jesus convicted me of this week. And maybe I'm wrong. He'll convict me if I am wrong. But this is what he got me with. The safest place to be has never been in God's will. The most secure place to be is in God's will. Safety and security are two different things, aren't they? Safety when you go around is different than security. The president of the United States is pretty secure, isn't he? He's got all these people like that are running around with all these things. He's pretty secure, but it still doesn't mean he's safe. Somebody still can get through, right? But he's secure. And so because he's secure, he can do what he was made to do. He can do what he was elected to do. That's what happens for us. We're secure in God, but it may not be safe. In other words, he may call us to step out on the water in faith. Do you think that's safe? Especially if you didn't know how to swim? That's the thing I don't think anybody realized. I don't think Peter knew how to swim. He straight up didn't. He didn't have a life jacket. He didn't have nothing. He knew how to fish. I mean, it said he ran to shore when he saw Jesus in the inn. I don't know. Maybe he didn't. All the way through, what I'm trying to tell you is we can be secure in the Lord. Doesn't mean we're safe. And so for all of us, that's kind of where we have to be. Remember last week, Jesus said in Matthew 16, whoever wants to be my disciple has to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life has to lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. So if you're struggling with this and whether you really put God top priority in your life and loving him top priority, I'm going to ask you two questions. They both have a different flavor, but they both are going at the same thing. The first one is this. God called you to a place and a position you've never been. Would you go? If God called you, not you, if God, talk to Abraham about it. Talk to Noah about it. A place and position they had never been. Talk to Moses about it. You can read it in his word. How about this flip side? If God called you to stay in a place you really wanted to leave because he's not finished with the work he wants to do through you yet, would you stay? Talk to Paul. Had to stay in Rome in chains, didn't he? It's the last place he thought he was going to have to be, was in chains, because he was going to be Billy Graham walking up in that place and just everybody just slaying people in the spirit and letting God just go save everybody. But instead, he was in chains in a prison. And he caught the ear of the leaders of everyone when they were switching those prison guards, wasn't he? The thing is, if we're looking for comfort, we can't answer yes to either of those questions. We're stuck. But if our love for God is there, that will help us. So, how many of us have been on a mission trip? Okay, I see hands. For the hands that didn't raise, how many people have gone in their backyard? Okay, you've been on a mission trip. So, like, there you go. Picture it. Your backyard, 1963. I'm just kidding, or whatever. You've been to your backyard. That's where our mission starts, is inside our home.
Remember Jesus told them when the Holy Spirit fell that all of a sudden they'd go to Judea, Samaria, then the ends of the earth. In other words, it starts in our backyard, it goes through our neighborhood, then it flows through our city, then it flows through our state, then it flows through our country, and then it goes to the ends of the earth. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are on mission wherever you're at right now. But if you've ever been on a mission trip, who are the first people that give you a little bit of pushback? It's you, the ones you love the most, right? They're not telling you not to do it. It's the fact that they're having to bear whether they have to live life without something they love. Right? I remember just coming to New York. Alex, Brittany, and I, we were able to go to New York City. And that's here in the States, and we were going somewhere, and my mom's like, "You're going to get your head chopped off." And I'm like, "What? I'm not." Like, I remember her saying that, like, straight up, "Please don't go. You're going to get your head chopped off." I'm like, "It's the middle of New York. Like, they don't even know I'm here. Like, who does it? What?" But it wasn't that she didn't want me to do it. It was awesome. It wasn't that she didn't want me to do it. It's the fact that she would have to live without something she loved. Yet I did it, and she was glad I did it. See, that's what I'm getting at. If you're in Christ Jesus, is it something that you're trying to do is love the created more than loving Jesus in each and every one of us, His created? Because when we love Jesus, when we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, we can answer yes to those questions. That means we hold the love of God in our life above all else, above all else. Remember when they came to Jesus, one of the disciples said, "Hey, let me go bury my father." And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. If you're going to follow me, you got to leave all the temporary behind. That's a tough pill to swallow because we don't want to deal with that, do we? But if we love God, it works out the way it's supposed to with all our heart, mind, and soul. To follow Him, we've got to fully be in that. That's why I get to do what I get to do. I get to sell real estate and be a pastor. It's amazing. I'm so thankful that our Vine fam has compassion and patience. Well, this hard-headed one here, but this is what God's called me to do. He's called me to be like Paul. I hope He doesn't have me in chains in prison, but if that's His will, it's His will. But that's what He's called me to do. It doesn't mean that He's called everybody to do that. That's what He's called me to do. But I can tell you, in the ministry world, I can tell you the pushback I get for that. Are you sure about that? Is that really what God called you to do? I can tell you how I'm thought less of because of that, and that's okay too, because if I cared about the created things, then that would bother me more than I care about what the Creator has called me to do. That's what we have to do in our life. That's why a couple weeks ago we talked about raising our family. I'm just going to put it all on the line, really. One day all of us are either going to be in an urn or a box 6 feet under. And if we raise our family and raise the ones we love to depend on us solely for love in their life, we're setting them up for failure. We're setting them up for failure. I know that's hard. That's so hard. I don't know how parents do it. I have no clue the patience, the strength that you have. I really don't. It is something that I esteem to, something that I admire, but also something that I am just in awe of. But as we raise those blessings that God has given us and we help those that we love, we've got to teach them to trust and love Jesus above all else. Because one day we're not going to be here. We're just not. These bodies will fail. They absolutely will. No matter how hard we try not to make them, they will fail. But I know one that won't. What is it that Hebrews 13:8 says, that he says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Revelation 1:8, Revelation 22, Jesus says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." He is all the way through. He will sustain and satisfy us longer than the temporary things of this earth. And the tough pill to swallow is, are we really loving Him? And so if you really want to answer that question, I'm going to sum it up. What does it mean to love God? To seek Christ as our ultimate treasure. That's what we're called to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Seek Christ as our ultimate treasure. Seek Christ as our ultimate treasure. He must be the top priority. When the fire comes, He's the top priority. When the good comes, He's the top priority. When the mundane comes, He's the top priority. When you pass the hot and now sign, praise Jesus' name. You go pull in that thing and you bless somebody with it. When all of a sudden the line is short, you get the green light, praise His name. When you get the red light, praise His name. When you get the yellow light, do you speed or not? You speed through it. But whatever it is, you praise His name.
He's got to be your ultimate treasure, mine and your ultimate treasure. It is what we are created for. Because if in this life, our thing that we're carrying through the fire is our beauty, our status, our degree, our works, the ladder of works, I hate to tell you, there's somebody on a rung right below you waiting to climb right over the top of you. It's going to happen. But if it's not our works, but instead Him, none of that matters. We get to step off the ladder of works. Praise God. 600 rungs we would have had to climb if we were, when Jesus was here, if He didn't come. 600. I don't know if I can make up 10. I just fall back. I hope I got a bungee cord. I don't know what happens. I hope something's going to catch me. But yet here we are. We've got to see Him as our ultimate treasure. He has to be the treasure of our heart. If you struggle with addiction, we all do. Some just manifest themselves more than others. We can be addicted to ourselves. We can be addicted to food. If you say, well, I'm not addicted to drugs or alcohol, how's that phone treating you? How many hours you spend on that thing? Because you see, the thing is, we talked about this. You know, this is the size of a pack of cigarettes for a reason. Because it's just as addictive. It's just as addictive. How much time do you spend on that? How much time does that, the screen that we're addicted to, the show we're addicted to, the binge watch we've got to have, how addicted are we? So all of us are addicted to something. Some of us are addicted to physical health. Hey, that's okay, but like that's where you are. We all are addicted to something. This isn't a beat up. This is what I'm trying to tell you. How do you defeat an addiction? It's not behavioral change, because it won't work. You got to love Jesus more than the temporary pleasure that thing brings you. Because it is temporary. You gotta love Him more than that. That's what it's about. Him being your ultimate treasure. The behavioral change will last for maybe a year, might even last 10 years, but it'll still get you. You gotta love, like, it's hard not to love the things of this world because it brings satisfaction, right? That Krispy Kreme donut brought you some satisfaction last week. That breakfast brought you some satisfaction, but here in a couple hours, your stomach's going to rumble, and you're going to need something else. And we'll just be getting into it, finished up with the service about 3:30 or 4. We'll be done, so we'll be good. Like, all the way through, that thing you're searching for is temporary. It's hard not to love those things. And to be honest with you, it's okay to love those things as long as Jesus is first. The hard part is putting Him first. So if you're walking through a season, you're struggling, look to see what you're loving most. And think of yourself in that fire and what you're going to carry through it. Because for all of us, we've got to see what our heart is attached to is the treasure that we seek. And we have to know that Jesus is our ultimate treasure because He brings us to the ultimate treasure. He brings us to the ultimate treasure. You know what we have as Christians that no one else has? It's not victory over the grave. It's not just freedom from sin. It's not experiencing heaven now and forever by the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's God. It's the creator of the universe. He is the ultimate treasure. He is it. Like, if He is not it, let me ask you this. Would you want to spend eternity with your family and friends at a barbecue? We all would, right? If it's all you can eat, let me ask you this, though. Would you be okay if God wasn't there in it? That's the tough part, because many of us can answer yes to that, because He's not our ultimate treasure. See, we want all the things that God produces in us, the things that God does for us, but we don't want Him. And Jesus says, hey, if you're a true follower of Me, He is the ultimate treasure in your life. And that's hard for us. And that takes time to reorient. It takes time in our life to do that. And so for each and every one of us, the question is, what do we love and how do we love it? Do we love God as much as we love banana pudding? I mean, Jesus, I need to work on it. I hadn't had it forever. I couldn't. But do I love God as much as I love that? If I don't, He's got some work to do in me. Do I love God as much as March Madness? If not, He's got some work to do in me. Do I love God as much as pro wrestling? If not, He's got some work to do in me. Do I love God as much as that athlete? If not, He's got some work to do in me. I'm believing right now the Holy Spirit's clicking in all of us where He's got to work in us, and that's okay. I want to tell you, you're in the right place because all of us are messed up and none of us have it all together. But by His grace, we get to walk through this season and be a family, lifting, supporting each other up to make sure that there are no rejected lambs because we know the shepherd. So for us, I want to tell you, maybe right now your heart is starting to see the reorientation it needs to have and saying, what is it that you're calling me to do most, Lord? Not just love our neighbor, but love him as our ultimate treasure. You see, for all of us, we've got to understand that he has to be what we see. What is it Jesus says? Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God? And then all these things will be added unto you. Are we seeking the added unto you first or the kingdom of God? That's the hard part. Because the added unto you, Lord, you on the cattle of 1,000 hills. Like, you want to bless me? You're the same? Like, let's do it. Amen. Bring it on. But instead, he's saying, hey, I'll give you all those things, but do you really want me? Do you really want me? And that's what we have to have. And so for each and every one of us, that's what we've got to walk through, because here's the thing. Satan knows the truth better than we do. He knows Jesus better than each and every one of us. As a matter of fact, he knows more about the resurrection and what happened in the grave more than any of us do. But that doesn't save him. Because Jesus isn't his ultimate treasure. He doesn't love Jesus. He doesn't love God with all of his heart, mind, and soul. His treasure is power. His treasure is pride. Those things he doesn't treasure. And so the thing is, knowing all the Bible verses in the world are great. It ain't gonna save you. Knowing the 600 laws are great. It ain't gonna save you. If you want to live showing the world who Jesus is, you got to live loving God first. Because see, Satan will talk to you about Jesus all day long, but he hates what he's saying. You ever been that person? They can tell you everything about Jesus. Just something about him, you know they don't love him. It's that person yelling at you, going to the wrestling match. I can't get over that. I'm sorry. I always get mad about that person yelling at him. We talked about it on a Thursday night with Jonah. Like, I get it. Like, I understand it's a man's soap opera, but it's funny. But, you know, like, I don't need that. So if you're beating people up all the time and talking to them about love, does that really feel like love? Certainly don't, does it? So that's what we have to do, is because when we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and he is the center of everything we do, it becomes so much easier to love others, don't it? Because we realize it ain't about us. Does it mean that we should be abused? Because Jesus didn't create you to be abused. But it does mean that we can love others. It does mean that we can love others. And so as we look at this and we see that Jesus said, love God, love others, let's make sure that we live our life loving God first. Because if we do, loving others is real easy. It really is. Really is. Jesus loved God first, and he loved everyone. And you say, well, I'm not Jesus, but look, that's how the church spread. They were loving God first. They were seeking him daily. They never neglected gathering together. They shared everything in common, and all of a sudden, they multiplied because they loved God first. So let's keep loving God first. Let's seek him as our ultimate treasure. And I'm not going to talk about loving others as yourself, because we could talk about that forever. I just want to say, do you love God? Is he your ultimate treasure? In the fire, is he the one that you carry through? Is he the one that you hold on to? Or is it something else? Is it the car? Is it the garage? Is it the refrigerator? Is it the, God forbid, I'm going to get thrown at this, the cat or dog? Yes, they need to get out. We need to make sure, especially dogs and cats, they don't understand the fire. But like our kids, yes, those are important. Get those out. God's given you those to steward. But if you got to carry through the fires of life only the created things, you're going to come up short every time. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: love is the golden apple of the tree, which faith is the root. And the Savior took care not to ascribe the fruit that which belongs only to the root. That's a lot to unpack, so I'm just going to sum it up. In other words, love is the main ingredient of saving faith. When you confess Jesus as Lord of your life and believe that he died and rose again, that God raised him on the third day, you are saying that my love for you is greater than my love for the life I'm currently living. That's literally what you're saying. And that faith will produce love and will continue in this cycle of love, love, love. And then it will overflow. This love will overflow and it will spill out to loving others because you love God first. And that's what we are called to do. It's not merely a fact but a treasured fact, that saving faith, that love is the main ingredient of that, because the main ingredient of our faith is Jesus. And why did he come? Why did he come? John 3:16 and 17 reminds us why he came. Remember, for God so what? Loved. So why did Jesus come? Love. He loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to beat people up, to take things away from them, to tell them how terrible they are. And because guess what? We're all jacked up and messed up without Christ. I don't have to tell you how terrible I am. You can see it. So like all the way through, we're all messed up. We're all jacked up. We're all in love with a temporary that can never satisfy. We need something to attach our heart to that is eternal, that is more, that can sustain us, that can sustain the affections of our heart, that can make us to be exactly what we were created to be. And that can only be found through Christ, because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Through no longer rejected, saved, no longer out in the crowd because your family has rejected you, this world has rejected you, this world has told you you're not enough, you'll never be enough, you need to get 7 more rungs before you're enough, you need to have this much money before you're enough, you need to live on this street address before you're enough. No more. Jesus said, no more, that's over. I'm coming to show you that there's something more for you, because in the time that he walked the earth, here's what our understanding of hell is. Our understanding of hell is we think people in hell don't know the truth. And I would say people in hell are full that knows the truth. Hell is overflowing with people who know who Jesus is. The issue, he's not the love of their heart. He's not their ultimate treasure. That's the difference. Who is our ultimate treasure? What is it that we're seeking? We have to seek him. And so for us today, maybe that's what you're realizing. Maybe you are in a relationship with Christ and he's working on you. Guess what? He's working on me. That's called sanctification. Praise God for that. He's making us more to be who we were created to be through the Holy Spirit. That's what I love about that. And in Christ, you're always growing. That's a win. We can always be better and we can always be molded and shaped like canvas and clay to be who he created us to be. But maybe, just maybe today, God's awakening your heart to see that your love for the things of this earth outweigh your love for him. And the things of this earth, if anything, have taught you, will leave you rejected, lonely, and on the outside looking in. But Jesus came to welcome you in, so that no longer did you have to sit on the outside of the ultimate treasure of God. But he is the middle ground that brought us into the presence of the ultimate treasure that is God. And the way that you get to accept that, and the way that you get to be a part of that, is believing that Jesus is who he says he is, receiving this free gift of salvation, that he came, lived the perfect life that we couldn't live. All of those 600 laws, y'all, he did them all. He fulfilled them all. He made sure that we didn't have to do it. Then he loved us enough that he goes to this cross and he dies paying the penalty for our sin with death on the cross, and then loves us enough. He don't stay dead. He says, guess what? I'm going to give something greater to you. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's going to shape and mold you to be exactly who you were created to be, so that you can live out the greatest command of loving God and loving others, so that you can do that. And all that we have to do is believe he is who he says he is. Receive it by faith. And how do we believe? We make him the ultimate treasure of our life and say, Jesus, I love you more than my circumstances. I love you more than anything this world could ever give me. I love you, Jesus, with all that I am. And so right now, we're about to bow our head and pray. And the reason we do what we do each and every week is so that we can have our hearts awakened to him. And I just want to ask you, if that's you today, we're going to say a prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you, it's the faith. It's saying, Jesus, I love you more than anything this world can offer. And we pray as a family because we know if we are in Christ, what it feels like to be on the outside looking in. So we want everyone to know, just as Jesus welcomed us in, that we are welcoming you in. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask everyone to please repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserved, paying the penalty for my sin on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if you're in the house or you're watching online, I'm going to ask you to boldly respond on the count of three by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, and for the first time you've given your life to Jesus, you are professing that, Jesus, I love you more than anything else in this world, and I will live my life doing that. If that's you today, you're going to see a hand that's raised online. If you're listening throughout the week, reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or 864-580-6698. We would love to celebrate this decision with you. And for the rest of us, I'm going to pray, and what I'm going to be praying through is we're going to be singing here in just a moment. We're going to be entering into the presence of God, our ultimate treasure that we get to enter into because Christ Jesus has came. And so in this life, so many times we're going to be shaped and molded to be exactly who He created us to be. And so as we go into this moment, I'm going to be praying that we declare our love like never before by living it out, by loving God first and trusting Him as our ultimate treasure, and knowing as He molds and shapes us, He will allow us to love others as we love ourselves. So let's pray, and when I'm finished praying, I'm going to ask you to stand up and sing with us. Dear Jesus, thank you again that you are the treasure we seek, that you made a way where it looked like there was no way, that you ripped the veil. You no longer, because you came, we no longer are separated from God. We have a way to enter into His presence, the ultimate treasure of the universe, the creator of the universe. We get to be in a relationship, a love affair with. So Jesus, I pray today, whatever we're walking through, whatever we're going to, that we would lay it at your feet. Because our love is for you. Those things will pass. Those things will fade. But you, Jesus, never will. So I pray as you are molding and shaping us to be who you created us to be by seeking your kingdom first, that it overflows in our life to love others as ourselves. We love you, Jesus. We can't believe you allow us to do this. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, stand and sing with us. With your hands, known and loved by you. not finished with me. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. You're not finished with me. You're not finished with me yet. Sing it. You're not finished with me. You're not.
Us yet. You know how I know he's not finished with us yet? Because I can see you and you can see me. He's not finished. And here's the thing. Today is challenging. I know. Today is a little bit challenging. And here's the reason it's challenging, okay? We're about to step into Easter. Listen, we just came out of a pandemic where people have been locked down. Does anybody feel like this pandemic is like, I always said I probably belonged in a padded cell. It felt like that over the past year, hasn't it? But the thing is, Jesus wasn't finished with me yet. And the thing that I know is when we go out into this world, there are people that don't know God's not finished with them yet. And the way that we love them is loving God first. And if we seek God as our ultimate treasure, we will want what God wants for them in their life. And so what we can do, the best way to serve them is to love them right where they are and maybe even bring them here, even if it's online. I don't care what church they go to. I don't care what they do. They need to be a part of the body of Christ. And the reason that that's important is because we are clay and a canvas, and he's not done with us yet. And I'm so thankful he's not done with me, because when I think of all the times I've messed up, the times I'm gonna mess up today, I say, Jesus, I'm thankful you're not done with me yet. I'm thankful you still have more for me. So when we go out on these streets, maybe there's a name that God is pressing in your heart right now. Let's get him here. We got plenty of food, we got plenty of fun, and we lift Jesus' name high because we want to live out seeking him as our ultimate treasure. Let's do that, and let's live out loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbor as ourselves this week. Be sure to join us next week. We're going to take communion. It's going to be an awesome time. We're going to have some great breakfast. We'll look forward to seeing you then.